Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, we just got done reading Jeremiah chapter 26.
That is correct.
And in that chapter, they made Jeremiah sound really fucking brave when I thought he was just kind of fucking whiny in the past. Because he got up in front of a bunch of people and he was like, "You're all going to burn and God's going to kill you unless you repent." And then they were like, "Fuck you, dude." And they like pulled him down and they're like, "We're going to like not take that and you're in trouble and you might die." And then they talked over and they were like, "Well, but God, so I guess you're okay." And then
it wasn't just people that he was talking to.
No, it was like priests and you know, like the leaders of the, you know, Jerusalem or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all decided, I guess he's okay. And they start, I mean, okay being they aren't going to kill him, I guess.
Right.
But they made Jeremiah sound really fucking brave
he's like,
for doing this.
My life is in your hands, but that changes nothing.
Right. And this is not the Jeremiah I know.
Uh-uh. Me neither.
Right.
Me neither.
I don't know. Whatever.
But it is the people that I know because they are very timid at following through with going up against God. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
they don't
mind. Well, that's why they worship like 5 million gods. They're like,
yeah.
Well, we'll just hedge our bets over here.
You know? And then they were like, but remember Micah and remember your whatever that other guy's name is.
Sure, yeah.
And they were like, maybe, I don't know, let's just err on the side of caution and let him go.
Right, right. Yeah, so that was basically Jeremiah 26.
It was.
Which means that today we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 27.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, we are jumping into Jeremiah chapter 27. Are you ready for this shit?
I am ready.
Okay. In the beginning.
Not like every fucking chapter we're going to do in the beginning.
Of the reign of Joachim.
Ah, okay.
The son of Josiah, king of Judah. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying.
Okay, you ready? I'm ready.
Okay, I'm God talking to Jeremiah right now, according to Jeremiah.
Right, yeah.
Thus says the Lord to me. Make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah.
Here, go enslave yourselves. It's fun.
Exactly.
Join us.
Exactly. So do you know what bonds and yokes are?
The yokes are the things that you put over your head, aren't they? Like the like, I don't know.
Like you put two boards and leather straps that hold the boards together.
Sure.
Over like an oxen's
right.
head.
That's what I was imagining.
So that it can plow.
Yeah. Right.
And so the boards are the yoke, or the whole device together is the yoke, and then the bands are the bonds.
Got it. Okay.
So, yeah, he's
I
mean, like,
I didn't know the exact terminology about which pieces were which, but yes, I was imagining the thing that goes over the animal's heads for, you know.
Yeah, he's doing that thing.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's also the same thing you see in, like, old movies where they're, like, slave driving people in a line of chains and yokes, basically.
Oh,
like, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they've got those things over their heads.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I found a few things about that if you would like, or we can wait till Saturday, whichever you prefer.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So forcing another to wear the yoke says, I am the boss, you work for me, I regard you as a beast of burden.
Obviously.
A burst of beaten. Yes. And there are notes that say that Jeremiah likely spoke to a gathering of messengers from the kings surrounding the kingdom. So, like, when he called out Edom, Moab, Ammonites, Tyre, and Sidon.
Talking specifically to the kings?
To the messengers.
So the messengers for the kings?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And they had probably come to meet with King Zedekiah of Judah to plot a revolt against Nebuchadnezzar's rule over them. And Jeremiah probably spoke before them actually wearing the bonds and yokes, giving them a vivid message to take back to their kings.
Hmm.
And the reason that they were there trying to, you know, come up with some plot to work against Nebuchadnezzar was because attacks from Elam and a revolt in Syria made these troubled times for Nebuchadnezzar, and small states in the West thought they saw an opportunity to revolt and throw off, quote, the yoke of Babylon.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought that was interesting.
Right.
Like, they're there thinking, hey, let's, you know, plan with the king here and see if we can come up with a...
I'm imagining Jeremiah, though, as like the crazy person outside of the king's gates, just going like,
right?
No, you're all going to go to hell and you're going to get enslaved.
And they're
and
like,
this is what's going to happen to you unless you repent.
They're like just looking at each other like, is this how it be here?
The and Babylons then, are nigh.
And then, yeah. And then Zedekiah comes out. And he's like, no, just ignore them. Just
right?
Yeah. Whatever. Sorry.
I can't do anything. His parents are rich. I don't know, man. Just go on by him.
So did you know, I was not aware, but on Sunday, well, I did know that Sunday night was the Oscars.
Yeah.
And did you know that they ran about 5 to 10 minutes late because of protesters that were saying, while you're watching this show of opulence and ridiculousness, bombs are being dropped in
Palestine.
In Palestine.
Right.
Yeah. And so they were there trying to stop basically the Oscars, or at least make it difficult to get into.
Right.
In order to make a point and to make, you know,
yeah.
the way they do. Right. And so a bunch of celebrities in their gowns and fancy suits and whatever had to walk around to a different side door or whatever to get into the actual red carpet area. So it did actually slow down. Up a bit. Yeah. And there were people in the ceremony itself wearing giant red pins, red dot pins that were supposed to indicate ceasefire now. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But the relevance here, you're looking at me like I'm a nutball. Relevance is people standing outside of a place protesting.
Oh, okay.
In the case of the Oscars, it was for a good cause. In the case of Jeremiah, I don't even know what to say about that dude.
Got it. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Protesters.
No, I get it now.
Yeah. Protesters.
I didn't understand at the time what you were getting at. That's all.
I know. It's just your face was like,
because I was confused.
I'm like, what's confusing? They're all protesting. Their protesters are protesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, and command them. God's still talking.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
After all of that shit that I just said, right. God is still talking.
Got it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Blah, blah, blah. Put on these yokes and take them back to your kingses.
Right.
And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. But let me ask you this, okay?
Yeah.
So somebody from another country comes to you, and then this guy is like yelling in their face, like, my God made you, my God made man.
I'm going to think the dude's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's not like what we believe, but thank you.
Right. And I went there to talk to a fucking king. I'm not going to come back and be like, oh, and by the way, there was this guy talking about God.
Right.
Not our God, but some God.
Some various
God. Outside of the gates of the
locals palace. Be cray.
So, yeah, you know, if you want to take his warning, he said that God, his God, said this. So there you go.
Exactly.
It probably didn't even warrant a mention, you know, to the people that from the messengers.
If it did, it was surely with derision.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? Okay. And now, God continues, I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant.
Hmm.
Okay. I mean, I would be like, if I'm from another place, right? And Jeremiah tells me this, I'd be like, wait a minute. Nebuchadnezzar is the servant of your God.
Right.
I don't understand what's happening.
We're fighting against this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want anything to do with, if your God is siding with Nebuchadnezzar and that's what we're saying here, then fuck off.
Right.
And your God can fuck off.
Like, what are you saying? I don't understand you.
Right. And he doesn't have us yet. That's why we're here meeting, trying to figure out how to not be.
Exactly. There. Exactly. Okay. God continues talking.
Yeah.
And the beasts of the field I have also given to him to serve. So all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the time of his land comes. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord.
Hold on. But we've had another part in this book where it said that it was going to be 70 years. And he just got done. So God.
Let us not forget these chapters are out of order.
But regardless, right? So he's saying that Nebuchadnezzar's son and then his son.
And then his son's son.
And then his son's son are going to rule before he punishes the next whatever, right? So we're talking about 3.5 generations. Let's just assume Nebuchadnezzar's halfway through his reign, right?
Yeah.
3.5 fucking generations of people. Mm-hmm. Let's assume they all reign for 20 years.
Right.
If they each reign for 20 years and he's halfway through his reign, maybe that is right at 70. I guess that could work out. But it just doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah.
We're talking about 3.5 generations of people, and he's going to make that 70 years when some people reign for like 40 years. And, you know, like.
And then there's the ones that only do 3 months, but.
Right.
Whatever.
So I guess. But you're assuming that they each have sons. So they have to grow up old enough to rule at some point. And
I don't know. One of the dudes started ruling at the age of like 12 or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, who are you to criticize?
No, you're right. I don't know how it all pan out and, you know, whatever. It just doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right. That's
right.
All.
You know, having said that the chapters are out of order.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, the chapters. I should have actually started with, it's okay if I'm out of the order, the Bible's out of order.
Right, right.
I should have actually started with the material found in Jeremiah 27 is actually Jeremiah 34 in the Septuagint.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is the Greek version.
I can't.
I know. Like, I don't understand what you're telling me here.
Right, yeah.
Is the Septuagint the correct?
In which case, let's fix it. You know this book that's out of order? Yeah, it's even more fucked up in other places.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's awesome.
Thank you for that information. I don't know what to do with it. Also, it has been suggested that chapters 27, 28, and 29 are a special collection of Jeremiah's prophecies dealing with false prophets, and that certain stylistic peculiarities in the Hebrew make it likely that these three chapters once existed as an independent work.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So
that is interesting,
that is kind of cool, right? Okay. So apologies. I should have led with that, but the Bible gets to be out of sorts. So why can't I? If God can't get it straight,
right.
You certainly cannot expect this mere atheist, pagan, heathen to get it straight.
Right.
Okay. So, okay. Therefore, do not listen to, he says, blah, 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 under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish. And then he continues with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand.
Okay.
Okay. Therefore,
by his hand being God's hand?
Either or God or somebody Babylon, else? Nebuchadnezzar, whatever.
Okay, all right.
Doesn't matter.
There's a lot of pronouns here and I'm having trouble following
what he's talking about.
Abuse.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's either, I think it's God, but even if it's not specifically God, it'll be Nebuchadnezzar, but still God.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe.
Is what he's saying.
Maybe.
Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will fucking perish.
Says yet another prophet to them.
I know, right?
I'm just saying.
So I have a note about all those people that he mentioned.
Okay.
Diviners were people who gave prognostications and they guessed at future stuff happening by certain signs in the animate or inanimate things around them.
Okay.
So like the tea leaves or palms or what the fuck ever. They would just like look around and be like, it's a sign. They were diviners. Dreamers were dream interpreters.
Okay.
So they would take up the broken bits and pieces of dreams to try to put together a meaning of their own interpretation.
Well, and to be fair, all these things have kind of been used throughout the Bible as ways to prophesize for things that God is saying, too. So, I mean, I don't want to discount, as far as the Bible is concerned, I wouldn't want to discount their legitimacy in canon.
In canon,
versus some other prophet, because it's similar
stuff
that has been used.
It's fine when it's Yahweh's people.
Right, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. A soothsayer is a cloud monger, okay?
Okay.
They study the flight, color, density, rarity, and shape of clouds. That's what a soothsayer does.
Got it.
I thought a soothsayer was a truth teller, but I guess it's a truth teller, but based on the clouds.
I see.
I didn't know that. And a sorcerer, and all of this is from...
They get to throw magic fireballs, right?
I wish.
Right?
They are the discoverers, the finders out of hidden things, stolen goods, etc. They are people who use incantations and either by spells or drugs pretend to find out mysteries or produce supernatural effects.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's like they're saying, these magical people aren't magical. I mean, sometimes they do magic things, but the magic that they do is not to be trusted, and usually it's fake anyway.
You know, that would be a really good way to say that you are a sorcerer, is to drug your crowd.
Mm-hmm.
If you drugged your crowd and then you did some crazy shit, they'd be like, damn, man.
Yeah.
He's really doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He must be a sorcerer.
You're so diviner. What? No. Yeah. Okay. So, but the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So he's again, like last time he was telling the people, just wave your white flag and, you know, bow down and give up and you'll get to survive.
Right. But he's even saying that they can stay in their own land. Saying,
well, he's saying this to the leaders now.
Right.
Tell your kings, if y'all just give in to Babylon, I'll let you live.
But and stay in your own land.
And stay in your own land. Which you'll be a slave on your own land.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
But you still get to live there.
Okay. Got it.
You don't get to live in the castle of your own land anymore.
Right.
You'll be out there mowing the fucking lawn.
Working stuff and doing things.
Yeah. Okay. I think we are back at Jeremiah speaking.
Okay.
Because there was a bunch of end quote marks, quotes within quotes within quotes. Like there's three sets of close quotes.
That's not at all confusing.
At all. Yeah. No. Okay. So I think we're back to Jeremiah speaking.
Okay.
I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name.
Oh, so he did send them. So those are his.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I misread that.
Okay.
I apologize. And I'm glad you caught that. It says, for I have not sent them.
Okay. I was like, what?
Okay. I apologize. No, that would make them outright liars.
Yeah. No, I was like, damn, that's a.
No, you're right. Okay. You're right. I apologize. All right. That one's on me. That was on me, y'all. No, for I have not sent them, says the Lord.
Okay.
Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you.
Again, I want to point out that Jeremiah is the one saying this.
Yeah.
God is saying this to apparently only Jeremiah.
And a few other prophets around and about.
Sure, sure. But it's a select group of people that he's saying.
Yeah.
You still have to distinguish, you still have to determine that you want to believe this group versus that group.
Yes.
So I want that to be something that just keeps being stated because.
Which prophet do you believe and why? I
don't feel like it's that easy to distinguish who's telling the truth because they're all ridiculous statements of gods or things are causing these things to happen,
which it's not is like,
ridiculous to begin with.
And so. It's not like they could just Google it.
Right, yeah.
And, you know.
And they can't talk to God directly.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that whole bit's out. You can't do that.
And they couldn't watch documentaries on Netflix. I mean, these people.
They couldn't even fucking read, most of them. So, like, how the fuck are they supposed to know what's going on?
And they're like, either way, I got to mow my lawn.
Right, yeah.
So, the fuck it matters who's in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just keep coming back to that. Like, do you really think that the average person gave any fucks who was in charge?
Well, I mean, obviously, I would say that most people would want their lives to not be in upheaval.
Well, yeah, so. But as long as they were able to take care of each other and eat and have clothes on their back, the evil you don't know is always worse than the evil you do know.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and somebody promising you things will be better if you just do this.
Right.
Like, that's not always a good sell.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, he goes on.
Okay.
I spoke to the priests and to all this people saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? Ugh.
I mean, I don't know. Why should this city be laid waste, God?
Yeah, God, why? I mean, it's true.
You have like infinite power.
Right?
And yet you're literally telling your people to just go be enslaved.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
I
understand that it is punishment, but we have had so much punishment throughout the Bible that it feels like he punishes more than he praises.
Yeah.
Like he does not give a fuck. He's just like y'all suck.
I feel like killing somebody today.
Yeah.
Who wants to die?
You? Right, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they say, I've heard, you know, people talk about the angry Old Testament God, but I had no idea that it was this bad. Like, just always and constantly.
He was such a pissy little brat.
Again, in canon, assuming God, assuming God, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a shitty run of behavior from this dude and how he treats his people. Like, it's unbelievable.
But if they are prophets and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. So he's basically like, let's test your gods then. Like, when Nebuchadnezzar came before and took the majority of the things, but he left some.
Right.
Like, he's like, remember all that? Remember how there's only a few things left?
Yeah.
So, okay, pray to your gods that they don't get picked up and stolen and taken off. Like, test your God.
I kind of feel like this group of prophets that is right now being embodied by Jeremiah might have been in cahoots with Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Like, you know, like, he's definitely propagandizing.
Sure.
You know, just capitulating to the captives, right?
He's like, just give in. Just give up. Yeah. And just do what he says and it'll be easy.
If you were a king wanting to conquer a land, wouldn't it behoove you to have an inside group of people that were pitching this point of view to coerce people to be easier
overtake? To conquer? Yeah. Like, I would much rather just walk in and lay chains on them than lose my own people in fighting a bloody war.
Right.
Especially when, think about this too, these are choice lands.
Right.
Like, I don't want to ruin all those buildings and all the, you know, farmland or whatever, the agriculture. Like, this is some decent land. That's why these people settled here.
Right.
So it would be so much nicer if they would just, you know, lay down and let me enslave them. Well,
and look at it this way too. If you are Jeremiah, right, and you can understand that the outcome of this scenario is probably going to be Nebuchadnezzar is going to do these things. And he knows because he's in cahoots, right?
Yeah.
So if he knows these things, he can be a prophet easier, which then secures his place in history and the religion and all these things because he is able to actually prophesize the correct information, which then makes him eventually look better.
It's true. Right?
Like, there's so much here that could be, I'm just making wild assumptions here about like what could have possibly been.
I think that should be a movie though. Would that not be an amazing movie?
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar putting people like Jeremiah in place to push an agenda onto the people of Jerusalem to lay down their arms.
But we're talking about a much simpler time, right?
Yeah.
It would have been so easy to have, if you had any brains about you as a person that was going to invade, this would be such an easy way to manipulate that group of people that you're trying to attack.
Sure.
And I don't see it as far-fetched.
I don't either, considering how enthusiastic Jeremiah is.
Right. And that's the only reason it comes to mind, really, is because the way he's talking about how easily he wants to just hand his own people over to be slaves to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Fight.
Yeah. Always
this is
your
fucking land.
Fight to the end.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... That makes more sense to me than God.
No,
that's
I agree.
All. That makes way more sense to me than God.
You know,
God.
Politics always makes more sense than religion, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, political intrigue.
Well, and we've talked about this in the past and other things, but the person who wins, the person who ends up being correct, gets to write the history, right? So if Jeremiah is correct, he gets to write the history that is believed.
Yeah.
So he gets to write this from his point of view.
Yeah.
Or whatever. The people that supported him get to write this from his point of view.
Yeah.
And therefore, we only get the Jeremiah side of this. We don't get to see how everything else panned out because that didn't make it through. That didn't come through. So we get to hear this very one side of the fair of what is Jeremiah's take on and that group of people's take on this over this invasion from Babylon.
Not only that, but here's another thing. He might not even have been hired by or chosen by Nebuchadnezzar. He might have just been trying to ingratiate him, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar was coming. Like, let me get in good graces with this guy that's coming.
Definitely.
I'm going to be a prophet for him.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Right.
Maybe he was just like, fuck these people.
Yeah, it might not have even been like a co-opting thing. It could have been just him wanting to push himself forward in this new thing that he thinks is going to happen.
I mean, if he sees the inevitable, how many times have we seen like movies about people that will sell out their entire culture or their entire civilization, their entire country? Like,
there so that are, they get a better, slightly better position yeah. in the world to come.
Exactly. Right? The, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every alien movie, every, like, I can't even say, like, every political movie where the country, one country is taken over another, there's right. always a traitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Who sells out his own people.
And this is what I'd be more inclined to think about Jeremiah than the whole God shit thing that we're going through here.
Yeah, it's so, true.
But I'm sorry, I just had to get that point of view in because it's been nagging at me for multiple chapters now.
And I get so caught up in reading it and trying to make it make sense. And I get mad because it's all God, that I forget to like think of alternate perspectives. So I'm really glad that you said that because I wouldn't have thought of it. And that makes so much more sense.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to read.
Again, I don't want to state story. That like I'm not basing that on anything other than my own hypotheses about how this sounds to me.
So. Right. I want to read that story. I want to see that Netflix mini series. I want to watch that movie.
Just think of how much biblical fiction you could write if you took all these stories and like there's a lot of good, like if you turned it into like, let's just take it away from the Bible, but turn it into a story
of just so many, politics and yeah, geography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could make some really interesting stuff.
You could. Yeah. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, you know, the capital SC, yeah, the bath thing. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Concerning the carts, concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem when he took all that shit.
Yeah.
And all those guys.
Right.
Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. So he's like, here's a test. If you believe your God so much about how no, Nebuchadnezzar's not going to get us, then have your gods stop these last few vessels from getting stolen.
Right.
And see how that goes for you.
Right. But it feels, again, it feels very inevitable that these things are going to happen.
Well, yeah.
They were getting together as multiple countries, multiple groups of people to try to figure out a way to fight against Nebuchadnezzar, which means that he was definitely knocking at the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Regardless of what Jeremiah's intentions were, I don't feel like any of this is hard to actually predict that it would happen.
No.
It seems like it's just something that's definitely going to happen and would happen regardless of the scenario that actually goes on. So
definitely.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. Is that the end of the chapter?
That is the end of the chapter.
All right. So that was Jeremiah chapter 27.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with
Jeremiah chapter 28.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.